Flying Solo, Course Corrections, coming up next right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Let me tell you, I'm so glad you are here with me today. We're going to have an awesome time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, J.K. Weller, and his first book, Flying Solo, Course Corrections. I cannot wait to get into this story, and we're going to talk to him in just a few moments. As always, I want to thank you for your support of my books. First of all, thank you so much. And I also want to thank you for your prayers. As most of you know, those who follow me on Facebook, you know that my sister was in dire straits. You know, we almost lost her about 2 weeks ago. The Lord was so very gracious, and He has brought her back home. So thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for calling me and texting me and PMing me and letting me know that you were, first of all, praying for my sister, that you were thinking of her and praying God's will on her. Let me tell you, there is something to be said when you have to trust the Lord, because there's nothing else you can do. And that is what had happened to me during this whole process of watching my sister be ill and then watching God just miraculously begin to make her feel better. There's still a long road ahead of her for her healing, but at least she's not in that dire strait as she was 2 weeks ago. So thank you so much, very much, for your prayers. One thing I got to tell you is that the Southern California Christian Writers Conference is this week. That's right. Go to SoCalCWC.com. You still have a chance to register. It starts from June 20th through the 22nd at Hope International University in Fullerton, California. Make sure you go there. I unfortunately will not be able to join you this year. Just so much that happened, you know, my sister and other things that I will be able to join you this year, but let them know that I sent you. So make sure you register today for the SoCal CWC Conference. That's SoCalChristianWritersConference.com. SoCal CWC. Let me tell you, if this is one writers conference you want to go to, this is the one to go to. So make sure again you register SoCalCWC.com. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J., and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here. We're talking today to debut author J.K. Weller and his first book, Flying Solo, Course Corrections, available to you on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I'm so excited to talk to our guest co-host and contributor today because of the fact that this is his first novel. And for those of you, you know how much I enjoy debuting first-time authors. And this gentleman is no exception. Well, in a way, it's not an exception, but just something so cool about this first novel for this particular guest, co-host, and contributor. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce him today, Jim Weller. Jim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastically, Parker. It's good to be on the show with you this evening.
I'm so glad you're here with me today. I never, ever, ever take it lightly that you took time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the show. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm so excited to showcase your very first book. And for our listeners out there, what is so significant about this particular first book is that this is Jim's first book. And, Jim, I want you to let our listeners know, how old are you? Go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, I'm 81 years old, Parker.
Hey, I love it. I love it. See, your first book, 81 years old, and I'm just so happy that you gave me the opportunity to just tell everybody that, because that means that no matter where you are in life, God can use your words. It doesn't matter if you're 16, it doesn't matter if you're 81, it doesn't matter if you're 101, it doesn't matter. God can use your words, and I'm so glad that you are going to be an inspiration to the author out there whom God has called to write, who won't write and say, you know what, if Jim Weller can do it and he's 81, well, gosh darn it, I can do it too. And that's why I'm so excited that you're going to be telling us about it. But before we get into your book, before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I could always read a bio, but that's just me reading a bio. Who are you in your own words?
Yeah, I don't know how far back you want me to start, but I'll try to make this rather brief. I've done a variety of different things in life, and I think that's part of what God used to get my attention about, Jim, you've got some stories to tell that could be useful to others, perhaps, you know. So to begin back at the beginning, after I got out of the U.S. Navy, I served aboard a submarine in the Navy for a couple of years, and after that I met my wife, and we were married fairly soon after that. And we lived in a little town, a little logging community in Northwest Oregon. And that's where we started our family, was in what is known as Vernonia, Oregon, as a small logging community. And I was engaged in that kind of employment. I drove log truck for about 3 years. And then God moved us away from that small community, and I got a job as a firefighter. And I spent 18 years in a fire department just west of Portland, Oregon. 10 of those years as a battalion chief, and it was just a delightful career. I really liked it, you know, helping people and being able to be the manager of situations and to help crews come together and function to the best of their ability. It was just a delightful time. But during that time also, I was able to become a pilot and then a flight instructor. And so I was instructing people in how to become what's known as a private pilot, the very beginning stages. But I was also able to instruct people to become commercial pilots and instrument pilots and multi-engine pilots. And so just a variety of skills involved in doing that. And I was just thoroughly enjoying what I was doing. As a matter of fact, then that led into the next phase of my work life. And that was God used that skill that I had gained to get my attention. And I thought I would be the next, great pilot in missions. And so I applied at a couple of missions, aviation missions, and they eventually told me, "No, Jim, you're too old." At that point, I was in my early 40s, and they said, "You're too old to do this kind of thing." And they were right. They were absolutely right. The kind of flying that one does in those kinds of situations, typically jungle where we were located, it was way beyond my ability as a 40-year-old. You know, if I'd started that in my mid-20s, that would have been different. But at the same time, one of them, an organization known as JARS, Jungle Aviation and Radio Services, associated with Wycliffe Bible Translators, said, "But we can use you as a manager." And so my wife and I continued to pursue that, and that's what God allowed us to do. We spent 1 year in Washington, D.C., doing training there, and then we went off to Brazil, where we spent 5 years, and I was sent there to do government relations with the organization. Now, I never really did that. I did more of the management side of things rather than the government relations. But so that's kind of what happened up until while we were in Wycliffe. I then completed my bachelor's degree, and following that went right on to get a master's degree. And so when it was time to muster out of the mission part of my life, I got an opportunity then to start teaching at a small Christian university in Oregon. And I just finished my last course in March, having taught for George Fox University for 17 years. So in a nutshell, that's what I've done in life.
You know, your life is so full of so many rich experiences. And I can tell as you were reflecting on that the Lord has used you in so many different ways. You went from Bible translation to teaching to piloting. No wonder you have so many stories to tell. And the Lord is telling you, you know what, Jim? Get it together. Go ahead and tell your story. So with those of you just joining us right now, I see some of you just came online. Those of you just joining us, we are talking to J.K. Weller. He is the author of the book Flying Solo, part of the Course Correction series. And my guest is 81 years old, first-time author. So make sure you go ahead, love on my brother today, and pick up a copy of his book on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. One of the things you mentioned is that you are a firefighter and that you're in Oregon. And if I can just segue, you know, one of my books, my guy is a firefighter. And in one of my books,
I saw that in your list of books.
So don't read it because I probably got it wrong. You're probably like, Parker, really? This is not what happens in a fire.
I doubt it, Parker.
I was tickled when I saw when you said that. I'm so tickled. You know, as you look back, you know, becoming an author is very difficult for a lot of people because, you know, you're taking something that's within you, whether it's nonfiction or fiction, you're taking something that's within you and you're going to share it with the world. what was the event that said, you know what, I'm going to start writing my book? What was that event, or was it a process that you had throughout your life that you wanted to do? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's really an interesting question, Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And as you set it up, it was a perfect setup for it because it really is difficult. It's an ominous thing to think about, to sit down and write a story. You know, in my case, fiction, to write a novel.
Mm-hmm.
It really is ominous to think about that. And yet there are so many blessings along that route. So what caused me to really think about it? Well, part of it was that during the time that I was teaching at the university, one of the courses that I was privileged to teach was called Effective Writing. Now, it wasn't a creative writing course, as one might think.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, in the particular program that I taught in was a degree completion program set up for folks who have a year or two of college or university but never managed to get that degree, never managed to complete it. And now they're fully engaged in life, you know, adults, generally with a family. And how in the world am I going to do this? How am I going to manage it? Well, in this particular program, one of the things that they offered is a person can gain credit for life experiences. Now, not just writing that I had this experience, but to take it further and to talk about exact learning outcomes from that experience. And then one step further to talk about how they have or will use those life learning outcomes from that experience. And so that's what I was actually teaching, was how to write a brief essay, 8 to 10 pages, and focus on something that happened in their lives that they learned valuable lessons from and can now apply that to other avenues, other parts of their lives. And so usually, you know, for the first 10 years that I taught, I was in the classroom and I absolutely loved it, just absolutely loved it. And at the close of that particular course, a 6-week course, I would inevitably ask my students, okay, so who in here is going to continue this writing process and write something else? You know, I get various answers from people, and it was always encouraging. But inevitably, they would turn it back on me, and they'd say, okay, Jim, what are you going to write?
Yep.
And that kind of put me on the spot, you know. And so my response to that was, someday I'm going to write a book about a character that grandmas are going to want to buy and give to their grandkids. Well, Flying Solo didn't turn out to be quite that, but that was the nucleus thought for me about actually writing a story. And then I married that with, because of the variety of experiences I've had in life, family and friends would say, Jim, you need to write some of this stuff down. You know, you need to provide a bit of a history. And, well, writing an autobiography just doesn't interest me, you know. But if I can write some about some of the events of life and turn it into a fictional story, that really got my attention. And so that's where I got started, was marrying those two thoughts, you know.
So for those of you who are listening to us, we're talking today to J.K. Weller. He is the author of the book Flying Solo, part of Course Corrections, the series. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're having a phenomenal time talking to him today. So if you want to weigh in and talk to him, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Coe, hashtag right stuff. With your questions and comments, we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, The Queen here, having a phenomenal time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Jim Weller, better known as J.K. Weller, and his first book, Flying Solo, part of a Course Correction series, available to you on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to announce it to the whole world because this show is always about encouraging authors to pick up the pen and write. Jim is 81, and he wrote his first book and published it at 81 years old. 81. What is stopping you from writing your story? Do you think I'm too old to do it? No, you are not too old to do it. Do you think I'm too young to do it? No. As a matter of fact, you are never too young or too old to begin your dream, unless you're a baby. You can't write when you're a baby. Okay, so we got a little caveat there. But you understand what I'm saying. You're never too young or too old to begin your dream, especially if God has given you that dream. He wants you to share it with the world. I say this all the time. You never know what is on the other side of obedience. You never know what the rewards are for being obedient to what God has given you, which is the ability to write, to encourage, to inspire, to motivate. What's hidden inside of you that the Lord is telling you to release Take an example from Jim today. First book, 81, Flying Solo, Young Adult, and guess what? It's getting rave reviews on Amazon.com. It just came out last month, guys. So what are you waiting for? Find out what all the fuss is about. Get your copy of Flying Solo Course Corrections today on Amazon.com. And Jim, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show. So very glad you are here. I got to let our listeners know we were talking between the break, and I didn't mean to insult him on purpose, you know, but I was like, I'm just so thrilled that you wrote your first book, and I said, like, you're like Abraham, and he just kind of busted out laughing. It's like, that's not the way I meant for it to come out. So, Jim, thank you for your graciousness in dealing with my faux pas there. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But I was just encouraged by the fact that you are, you know, stepping out on faith, even though, you know, you're 81. Yeah, even though, but you're 81 years old. And that's what I'm so excited for. That's why I'm so excited to debut your book on the show. Now, with that, I have to ask you a question. Young adult, why a young adult book?
First, can I say amen to what you're saying about to your listeners about writing? You know,
amen.
If God's putting it on your heart, just do it. Just be obedient and do it. Yeah. Why young adult? Yeah. That's another really good question. I think that it came from partly from my earlier answer about speaking to my students in the classroom and saying that someday I was going to write a book that grandmas would want to buy for their grandkids. I think that kind of planted that notion in my mind. And I have a heart for young people. I love to be around young people. I really do. I mean, that's the reason I taught. I know I like to be around younger people. That was also part of the nucleus of the story as I was thinking about it, you know, about potentially writing, was a young guy getting into aviation, you know, and I thought, yeah, I need to start out with him quite young. And so I started there, you know, and it just seemed to fit. Now, I will hasten to add, Parker, that the reviews I'm getting are indicating that it's almost, the story in itself is almost ageless in its application, if you will. In other words, it's appropriate for the young adult, but it's appropriate for those, you know, well up in their years as well, you know, that it, that there's application for it. Just today, I sat down with one of the book reviewers. He asked to meet with me over a cup of coffee, and he's a retired attorney. And he said, you know, I couldn't hardly put it down. I just needed to find out what the next section was going to be about. And so it really does have application, I think, beyond the young adult, although I have a real heart place in my heart for the young adult.
I like the fact that you said you have a place in your heart for the young adult, because so many see the way that, particularly millennials, I have to say millennials, I'm not a millennial, thank God. I'm not a millennial, but at the same time, I own it, darn it, because I see some millennials, you kind of go like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you? But at the same time, you don't give them up. You don't say, you know what, they're unreachable, and they're not unreachable. And
no.
I think having that passion is what's so important for those of us who are older or who are more mature to reach out to young people and let them know that they can learn something from you. I think a lot of times we either dismiss the young And we dismiss those who are older because we think, oh, they don't know any better. But actually, the young people have so much drive and so much motivation and movement.
Yeah.
And the older ones can, you know, tap into that and pour into them their experience because they say, I was like you and I learned X, Y, and Z from the situation. So I'm so glad that you chose to hit that route, even though obviously the book is ageless, like you said. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 15 or if you're, you know, 42 or whatever. You can read the book. And so Flying Solo, for those of you listening, is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Now, we know that this gentleman has something to do with aeronautical things, okay? Very things about flying planes and stuff like that. And so here you are with a wealth of life experience. Why start with your experience as a pilot? Why start there? Why not start as a firefighter? Why not start as something else? Why airplanes?
Oh, my. I don't know. I guess, you know, as I think back on it, I guess that ranks right up at the top as far as exciting experiences that I've had in life. Although certainly being in another culture, serving with a mission agency was, a tremendous challenge while being the greatest blessing my wife and I've ever had. But for some reason, the Flying Solo, I thought maybe I could connect with an audience more easily through the flying adventures. Now, if I may, you've mentioned a couple of times about the course correction series, and that's because this is the first book in a trilogy. And so I plan to follow on with Chris well into his, adult years. And so there's a second book that I'm beginning to write now. I have a working title for that of Born to Fly. And then following that will come the third book. And I'm not going to reveal what's going to happen in each of those books, but I do have a plot in mind for each of them that will carry Chris well into I say Chris. Chris is my protagonist, my main character in the story in Flying Solo. But it will carry him well into his adult years. And so, it seemed to work for me to start out with him as a younger person. I pick him up when he's 22 years old in Flying Solo. And then we'll carry on, you know, probably with a bit of a timeout between the end of Flying Solo and the beginning of Born to Fly. There will be a couple of 3 years in there that I won't account for. But I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Oh, you did fine. You answered my question just fine. I was going to add to that, you know, with Chris. Would you say that Chris is yourself, or is there some part of him that is like you, or is there another character within the story that you relate to more closely? Because my experience has been your first book tends to have a lot. I mean, you tend to take some aspect of yourself and put it in there. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, very definitely. Although I didn't get to start flying at the age that I have Chris starting out. But, yeah, some of the events in there are actual events that I experienced, and I won't divulge which ones those are. But, some of the flying experiences I personally had, and so that gave me firsthand knowledge to write about those things. And I'll continue with some of that in the sequel, in the next book. Going into the third book, I'm going to have to do a whole lot of research for what I have planned for the third book. But I'm beginning to work on that even now, getting some of that research done. So, yes, to answer your question, yes, while I am not Chris, because it starts much earlier for him in his life. Still, I identify some with Chris. And that's that. I think is about the limit of it. You know, I do identify some with Chris. Yeah.
What I find so inspiring is hearing you talk about, yeah, book two and book three are coming out. I'm working on them right now. And I'm just so inspired by that. It makes me just want to, you know, as soon as I get done, I'm going to go and just keep writing. I'm like, you know what? Jim's doing it. I'm going to do it too, you know. And I'm just so just blessed by your vigorous just dream. You're building on your dream. You got the book out there. People are liking your book. And that's, you know, that's the risk we take when we put our work out there.
Yeah.
It's a huge risk. I mean, like you were saying earlier, and please speak to this and expand on it as you see fit. You were saying earlier, you know, it's scary to take this dream, this baby that you've had with you for so long, or if you just start thinking about it and say, hey, world, look at my child. Isn't he beautiful? And they're like, no, he's not. What made you think that kid was cute? I mean, you're scared to hear those type of comments. And to be honest with you, as an author, I've heard those comments too. You put all your heart and soul into a book. Someone reads and says, this book is XYZ, and I would never read another Parker J. Cole. And I've had some of those reviews. And you kind of go like,
you know? Exactly.
And then you go, you know what? And then someone goes, oh, your baby's beautiful. Look at that. You know, so it's just the risk that we take. How would you say you got, or if you got over those feelings of insecurity that a first-time author may have, how did you get over that? Did you even have those? Were you confident? Tell us about that that first author blush you may have had.
I to this date, I received one negative review, and that was verbally, and a good friend. And she said, I'm not interested in flying, you know, and actually she said it to my wife, and my wife's name is Mary. And Mary said to her, well, maybe you need to read into it a little bit more because there's more than just flying in it. And she said, well, it looks like he's just going to marry Debbie, the other main character in the book, and, you know, and life's going to be hunky-dory. And Mary said, well, you know, maybe you need to read a bit more. you know, as you were saying that about negative reviews, one of the things that I've captured and made a big part of my writing life is I belong to a writer's group, a Christian writer's group, a local group, and we meet monthly. Now, I don't know what your experience has been with those, but mine has been just, it's been so, so beneficial to me. You know, for one thing, they keep me jazzed up about writing. You know, because the thing is, in our group, we're allowed to take 3 pages of what we've written and enough copies of it for each member of the group to have their own copy. And then the writer of it reads it, and the others have red pens. And they get to mark up the copy that we then get back afterwards. And and not only that, but we take time to go around the table then and give verbal comment back to the author. And the author isn't allowed to say, well, but I, no, they just take it, you know, and they listen to it. Some days I come home just on cloud nine, you know, just, wow, it was neat. And other days I come home and I think, do I want to write anymore? I'm not sure, you know. But those times are so instructional. You know, once I get over that, I get over the pity party, and I decide, it's time to pick up the pen, to go back to the computer, actually, and start writing again. I'm a much better writer because they've given me a critique that has been really beneficial to me. So that's how I use the negative comments. And they really aren't negative necessarily. They're strong critiques of what I've written. And I need to accept it that way. And I need to benefit from it and to learn from it and to improve my writing based on their inputs to me.
For those of you listening to the sound of my voice, we are talking to J.K. Weller, and he is the author of the book Flying Solo, which is book one of the Course Correction series, available to you on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy, not tomorrow, not the day after that, but today. Let my brother know how you felt about his book by leaving a review. I tell you all the time, authors love reviews. It helps us know that we did what we said we were going to do. And if we didn't, we want to know about that too. So make sure when you pick up a copy of his book that you leave a review and let him know what you thought about it. You still have time to call in and weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. and her guests, right here on The Write Stuff.
The show. You're listening to The Write Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I have been having such a wonderful, marvelous time talking to Jim Weller. His book, Flying Solo, Course Corrections, Book 1, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I'm going to keep saying this at every break. Jim is 81 years old, and he published his first book, 81. That means that no matter how old you are, God calls you into your destiny. And I want you to know that Jim is picking and walking in his destiny. What are you doing? That story, that memoir, that poetry book, your spoken word, your music, whatever it is that's in you, are you sitting on your gift, or are you going to pick up the pen and write stuff? I want to also thank Paulette Harper from Right Now Literary Tours for connecting Jim and I on the show. Paulette, thank you so much. As always, Paulette and I have been working together now for about, I think, 3 or 4 years, possibly longer. I really can't remember. But we've enjoyed each other's company on a business and also on a personal front. So I want to thank Paulette for connecting Jim and I. So if you want to get a virtual book tour, I highly recommend Paulette. I have used her several times for my own books, and I know you're going to get a great, great experience with Paulette. So thank you, Paulette, for connecting us. And Jim, I'm so glad that you are here with me, because you're just inspiring so many people who are listening to our show to know that it doesn't matter when you do it, it's that you do it, that you execute on that dream. And so what I wanted you to do right now, if you found it, I want you to go ahead and read a quick excerpt from Flying Solo, just about 1 or 2 minutes, nothing too long, and share with us your first book.
Okay. I just opened the book. I'm on page 37, if anybody has it and wants to follow along. Yeah, the setup to it is that Chris was asked by a guy at the airport to accompany him and his family on a trip from the fictional town in Oregon, Willamette, Oregon, to Stanford University for a football game. And after the game, they're on their way back home in this fellow's small twin-engine airplane. And Chris doesn't have any real experience in twin-engine airplanes, but he was assured by the guy that his airplane is IFR-equipped, which means he can fly instruments. So regardless of the weather, they would be fine coming back home late at night. So
okay.
I'm just going to jump in. As they flew directly over the mountaintops, Chris felt as though the airplane was being pushed all over the sky, up and down, side to side, the wings never level. Super cool rain hit the windscreen, and Martin shined his flashlight on the left wing. Chris grabbed the flashlight from the side panel and looked for the buildup. For ice buildup on the right wing, Martin directed tersely as he scanned the instruments intently. Chris did as instructed. I don't see anything. Keep a watch on it, Martin's words were clipped. Another quick glance over his shoulder told Chris the women were scared, their eyes wide with fear. He guessed his eyes looked much the same. A couple of minutes later, Martin flashed his light on his wing again, so Chris did too. I see a thin coat of ice now, Martin. Chris felt his sweat-soaked shirt clinging to his back, but his sweat wasn't caused by excitement. But this sweat wasn't caused by excitement. Yeah, Martin said, keep an eye on it. And then I'll just jump forward here. They request a lower altitude to get out of the freezing air that they were in. And when they finally do get that, wham, bang, the noise sounded as though they were flying through a bunch of small rocks. Wham, wham, bang. It seemed the banging on the fuselage would never stop. Chris hoped the ice wasn't doing severe damage to any of the airplane's flying surfaces. The plane took all of Martin's concentration. He didn't appear to pay attention to the racket made by the clanging ice. Chris was sure they were getting into air where the airplane could keep flying. Apache 3843 Alpha, this is Seattle Center. Go ahead, Center. This is 3843 Alpha. Apache 3843 Alpha, descend to a new altitude of 5,000 feet. And then it goes on from there. They make it back home, but it was a very scary situation for everybody on board. And then I pick up the storyline from there, what it does to Chris in his own emotions, his thinking, his consideration about if there is a God, why would God allow, would God allow them to have died on that mountaintop. And so that theme then runs through the rest of the book about his encounter with God and what does that mean to him.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned about the ice being on the window. When I went to Colorado earlier this year to visit a good friend of mine, there was ice on the airplane, and we could not leave until they got rid of the ice. We couldn't even leave. There was ice on the wings. There was ice on the windows. When I looked out, I said, oh, my gosh, there's ice, you know. And we were sitting there for 2.5 hours. I remember being so livid because I had plans that day, and they were all shot. They were all shot. But then I called my girlfriend. I said, oh, my gosh, this ice, I want to see you. We're going to be 2 hours. And she said, well, Parker, you'd rather be in a situation where you're upset that you're on the ground wishing you were in the air than being upset that you're not on the ground when you're in the air. So she said, you know, count your blessings. You'd rather be on the ground than in the air having that problem. I said, you're absolutely
so true.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I'd rather be on the ground mad. And because you've seen those YouTube videos of plane malfunctions. I think the one recently where they felt the plane was shaking and then the oxygen mask came, and most people, they go on the plane, they listen to the stewardess or I'm sorry, flight attendant, whatever the political correct, I can't remember, one of them, but they pull the thing down and, you know, they do the little thing. You never really, like, listen to it. You listen to it, but you really don't until you really have to. You're like, oh, my gosh, you know. So you definitely don't want to be in that situation. But what I like is that, you know, you put him in a situation of danger. And when you're in a situation of danger, that really starts to bring what your thoughts are about life. Like I was saying earlier in the broadcast, how I was thankful for so many people praying for my sister, who was, we almost lost her 16, 17 days ago. We almost lost her. And so having to trust the Lord completely, when I say completely, because there's nothing I could do. And the doctors, they didn't know what they were going to do. And all of these things happen. And then you got to go, I'm trusting the Lord no matter what. And so I like that that theme is in Flying Solo, because it makes you wonder, are you really flying solo, or are you just flying co-pilot, I guess, with the Lord in the cockpit, you know? So I want people, if they want to get in contact with you, because we're getting close to the end of our show, if they want to get in contact with you, what's the best way to go about doing that? Tell us what your social media outlet is, as well as your website.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, and just J.K. Weller on Facebook will take you to that site. Let me see. I'm on Instagram, J.K. Weller as well there. I have a website, jkweller.com. Anything else? I don't have Twitter, but I think that's the list. Is unless I'm forgetting something, I think that's it. My daughter serves as my webmaster, and she's going to say, Dad, you forgot. But anyway.
See, that's what I have you for, my dear. I don't have to remember anymore. You go,
Can I just say a word about that? My wife and I have three beautiful daughters, and it is such a pleasure to have kids like our daughters are. You know, just each of them walking with the Lord in their own ways, and I'm so blessed. You know, we came through Father's Day last Sunday, and so blessed to have the kids and the wife that I have. Life is really good for me, I'll tell you.
Amen. That is beautiful. I'm so glad that you shared that with everyone because, and I got to say that again, you know, in Genesis he says, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. And when they become one, they build a family together. And then that family is raised with the God's law, his word, his ethics, everything, and then they continue it on to their generation, and it continues on to their generation, because in this article in the Tribune, and I think this is the Tribune, Tribune article, it says you are a father, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather, so you're sharing all of that through your generation. So I should say, Jim begat, no, I'm still kidding, I won't say that. I'm just joking. But, you know, what I want you to do in the few moments we got left, I want you to encourage our authors out there, because you have walked with the Lord for some time. And as you walk with the Lord, I know your relationship with him has changed over the years, and he's revealed himself in so many different ways to you over the years. And as you reflect on that relationship, how that relationship has caused you to write your first book at 81, to get it published, to get it out there, and to continue to write, how would you, using what you know, encourage our authors out there whom God is calling to write to pick up the pen and do so?
Oh, my. Yeah, it's easy to say, just do it. You know, the old Nike slogan, just do it. Yeah, and while that may be true, that doesn't satisfy, and I understand that. I would say, for me, it was a matter of having family members who encouraged me, and then to find friends who also encouraged me. And principally, I'm thinking now of the writers group that I belong to. You know, they encourage me every step of the way. While they may critique and say, this just doesn't work, Jim, at the same time, they encourage me to keep after it. And so I think to not fly solo in the writing is a good thing. I'm not in any way suggesting that one needs to have a co-author with them. I'm not suggesting that. I think for me that would be really difficult unless one of my girls said, Dad, let's write a book together based on our relationship. Okay, I could handle that. But to write a novel, I want to be second in command. I want God to be in command of it, first of all.
Amen.
But I want to be second in command, you know, and I want to be able to make the changes that I think are necessary. For instance, I haven't incorporated absolutely everything that family members and the writers group have suggested to me. You know, I haven't included absolutely everything. I feel I'm still in charge of the story, and I feel that those who are thinking about writing need to understand that they need to have a good enough plot in mind that they can sit down and work out that plot, considering the story arc that they want to portray for others to read, while still at the same time looking for avenues of encouragement along the way as well. To have Christian friends who encourage you, and non-Christian friends. One of my reviewers is not a Christian, to the best of my knowledge, a young man who is studying aviation right now. But he's a strong encouragement to me, you know, as an old guy who is completely through with actually flying myself, but he's really encouraging me in it. And I think authors need that. At least I need that. I need to know that I'm on track and that, yes, I need to answer to God ultimately for what I write, but I need to find that encouragement place along the way as well. And I encourage you. I was just going to say, if you're considering writing, I encourage you to find that. And allow that. In a way, it makes you accountable to somebody else. You know, frequently to talk about having accountability partners, I think to have somebody to whom you're accountable for your writing, it can be very helpful.
I think you make some very good inspirational and encouraging thoughts to end our show today. Jim, I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for the blessing of letting us know that you can do what God tells you to do no matter how old you are, and he can still bless it. And I'm just so thankful you have honored
Amen.
Me with your presence. And I cannot wait to have you back on the show for the next book in the series and hopefully have you back real soon. So thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much, Parker. It's been a real delight to be on the show with you today. Thank you.
And we were talking today to J.K. Weller. He is the author of the book Flying Solo, which is book one of the Course Correction series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Were you encouraged today? I was so encouraged as I listened to Jim talk about his life, talk about what inspired him, listening to just the love in his voice as he talked about his family, listening as he expressed what it's like to go through so many things and know that the Lord has carried him through, to feel his excitement, his just everything about his journey. And the fact that he's 81 starting his writing career is such an inspiration. And I hope you were inspired and encouraged by Jim today. But you know how you can let him know that. Make sure you pick up a copy of Flying Solo today on Amazon.com or, again, wherever books are sold. Let him know what you thought about it. In one of the reviews, I like how the reviewer says it. The reviewer says, this story doesn't stall. A wonderful read, especially because I can personally relate to every word lived by the young character Chris. Read on, write on. And that's just a 5-star review from Flying Solo, which just hit the press last month. So it's hot, fresh off the press. Go ahead and get your copy today. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I am the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.